Good morning, Northwest. It was so very good to be back here with you today. My family and I, it was the first time we've kind of done the staycation thing, but that's what we did, and we just had a good rest, and God really blessed us through that time. And I'm very grateful to Don Rogers and to Bill Gaethke for filling in, and just really grateful to be back with you. I want to underscore something that Krista said in the announcements, and that is next Sunday, the church picnic, and it's a great time. We've done it many times in the past. It's always a great time, but it's also an important time for us as a church family. We need those times of fellowship where we can just sit down and talk with each other and ask each other how things are going. So I really hope you'll make it a priority and plan to be there with us next Sunday. Now, those of you who've been with us a while, you know what's coming, but about a month from now, we're going to start our home-based life groups, our sermon-based life groups in September. And we've prayed long and hard in recent years for God to guide us and God to guide how we do church and how we go about being available, being moldable to grow God's kingdom. And this is a key part of how we feel that God is leading us to grow his kingdom. And I want to encourage you to think about hosting a life group at your home, hosting one of these small groups at your home. And it may be intimidating. It may be something that, hey, that sounds kind of scary. But if it is, we have great resources here. We can train you. We can help prepare you to do that. We're looking for hosts, people who are willing to say, you can come to my home, you can come to my apartment, and we're looking for leaders. And I just would like to ask all of you to pray about that, at least make it a matter of prayer. And ask God if he's wanting you to do that. If you feel any prompting in that direction, I'd encourage you to speak with our leader in that area, Bonnie Lee. She has her hand raised, or you can speak with myself. And we would love to tell you more about that. Donna Soderberg is also deeply involved in that ministry. So please consider it. As Krista mentioned, we are in resuming the sermon series on Psalm 23. And we're looking verse by verse at this psalm and how God can work in our lives still today through this powerful word of God. And each year in the life of a sheep, there comes a time when grazing the summer pastures is just done. Comes a time when those summer pastures just become barren. And the shepherd must take the flock to higher ground in order to find new fields. And these journeys sometimes to get to that higher ground, sometimes they can last for months. And they can be treacherous journeys. They're poisonous plants on the path. The climbing can be difficult and dangerous. Wild animals can attack. And the weather, especially high up on those mountains, the weather can turn bad. For these reasons, some shepherds do not lead their flock, do not lead their sheep to higher ground. They just simply let them stay below in the fields that are almost bare. And they let the flock learn how to get by on really not enough to eat. But not the good shepherd. The good shepherd takes his flock to higher ground, knowing that even though there are dangers along the way, that the journey is necessary in order for the sheep to continue to grow, in order for the sheep to continue to become more mature. Every mountain has its valleys. And the experienced shepherd knows which ones to take that lead to greener pastures. So he leads his flocks through these paths. And though the way may be dark and dangerous, the experienced shepherd, he knows what he's doing, and he leads them well. And no doubt, this is what David was thinking when he wrote the words to this psalm, and no doubt what he was thinking especially when he wrote verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's pray. Father, we continue to come before you this day, and God, as we do, Lord, we're so grateful to you for the almighty God that you are. And God, as Paul read earlier from our call to worship, Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10, God, help us to fear you. And Father, knowing that when we fear you, that when we believe in you, that when we trust in you, we don't have to fear anything else. That there is no valley so dark, Father, that we need to fear at all. Because God, we can know that in Christ, you are constantly with us. Father, that you will either take us out of the valley or that you will give us the strength to get through the valley because of your presence. So God, we just ask that you would speak to each one of us today, wherever we may be in our walk with you. Father, whatever situation we may be facing right now, Father, show us more fully, more deeply, what it means to walk through those dark valleys and how you can truly be with us. God, we lift up the valleys that many in our church are facing right now. We lift those people up. And God, we just ask that you would directly intervene, that you would heal, that you would provide. Father, that you would guide. Lord, we wait on you, and we ask for your power. We ask for your presence. Your son Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today's message is about the confidence that we can have and knowing that God, our shepherd, is with us even when we go through the darkest of valleys. So let's take a look at this this verse 4, and let's break it down phrase by phrase. If you'd like to follow along, each phrase is listed on the back of your bulletin, and we're just going to take these one at a time. Very detailed approach here this morning, but this verse is so powerful, it's definitely worth it. The very first part of verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And without that part of the verse, without verse 4, Psalm 23 would lack some very important realism. And in the first three verses, if those were taken out of context, if you just take Psalm 23 verses 1 through 3 in isolation, it can paint a very inaccurate, rosy picture of life. And if it's the case that all we have is those first three verses, we can easily start to think, hey, I guess I have everything I need. I guess every day I'm going to do nothing but eat in green pastures. Every day I'm going to do nothing but drink from still waters. I guess I'm walking through the righteous path, giving glory to God all the way. If Psalm 23 ended with verse 3, we could very easily think that all of life should be just like church camp. And we might be disappointed to discover otherwise. But David didn't stop with verse 3. He went on and he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And he didn't use this phrase to suggest that it might happen. He didn't say, "If perhaps I should someday encounter a dark valley." No, he says it in the present tense. He says it as if it's a current reality. "Though I walk through the valley." And this is one of the most important lessons for believers, for all of us to learn. You will, in fact, walk through the valley of the shadows. It will happen at various times in your life, and some of you may be there right now. You will walk through very dark valleys. And when that happens, it's not because God has abandoned you. It's not because the Christian life doesn't work. It's because valleys are simply part of the journey. Jesus said that God gives sunlight to the evil and the good, that he sends rain to the unjust and the just. And that means that none of us, nobody here, has a dark valley exemption. We'll all walk through it at one time or another. But here's what we need to see. When you're walking with the shepherd, he will always lead you to higher ground. I've known people, perhaps you have too, I've known people who have entered the valley and never left it. You know some folks like that? Maybe that's how you feel right now. The death of somebody close, a failed relationship, financial problems, health problems. These experiences can make it seem like a very dark valley. And some people enter that valley, and tragically, sometimes even Christians, they'll stay there. And they let the experience make them bitter. They let it keep them from moving on. They say, "If that's the very best that God can do, then forget it." I've heard that recently. "If that's the best that God can do, then I'm done. I just won't believe anymore. I just won't follow anymore. I'll just stay with my anger and my pain. I'm just better off on my own." I've known people like that, people who claim to be Christians. And the valley can definitely be dark, especially when we face the loss of somebody close to us. You may have seen on the internet or in the newspaper the account of this missionary family they're in our denomination. And the husband and wife, they grew up in Georgia. They're Southern Baptist missionaries to Italy. They've had two tours there. They were back home just a rest and to tell people how God was working through their ministry in Italy. This was just this last Thursday night, three nights ago. They're driving down the highway. The mom and dad, her name is Kyra Carr. The dad is Reed Carr. So they're on furlough from being missionaries for God And they're on this highway, and a truck driver forgot to put the parking brake on his truck. And if it had been 2 seconds earlier or 2 seconds later, it would have completely missed him. But because that brake wasn't on, that 18-wheeler slowly rolled onto the highway at the exact moment that their vehicle went by. Kyra was instantly killed. The two children and the husband were critically injured. There's a third child. I can't imagine for Reed Carr just how very, very dark that valley is for him right now. Dark valleys are real, and they happen to us, and they can be excruciating, extremely painful. And during valleys like that, during our darkest valleys, it's not always consolation enough to say, well, I'll see you again someday in heaven. It's true, but sometimes that's just not enough consolation. Sometimes the real question can be, how am I going to make it until then? How am I going to survive with that vacancy in my life? I won't pretend for a minute that the valley cannot get very dark, because it can. I won't pretend for a minute that those valleys are anything but very difficult. I won't pretend for a minute that I have an easy answer to the question, why must this happen to me? Because I don't. But I can say that it happens to us all. We all walk through the valley of the shadow. However, some people, even some well-intentioned believers, can get bogged down with that question of why. Why did things happen like they did in Nepal, or Japan, or Haiti, or New Orleans? Or why did my friend have to die? He was a good person. He was a missionary to Italy. He gave his life. Why did he have to die? Why did she have to die? Or why did I have to lose my job? I've been working hard. I love the Lord. Why did I have to lose my job? Or why did my husband leave? I was faithful to him. Why did my husband have to leave? I've never met anybody who can satisfactorily answer the question why in every way. We may never fully know on this side of eternity. We may never fully know the answer to the question why. But we can know the answer to the question, how then should I respond? We can know the answer to that. We can't explain why Japan was hit a few years ago with this enormous